Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, I'm writing these things to you, Paul writes, so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. In my family of origin, and when my children were growing up, we had several activities and family traditions that were really not up for debate or even discussion. It was simply understood among us that that's how we do things in this family. And Paul is saying, this is how we do things in the family of God, the church of the living God. He's saying that we need to behave in such a way that the truth of God, of which the church is a pillar and buttress, is not compromised in the eyes of others by the way we conduct ourselves. As the household of God, he's saying this is how we behave to bear witness to that truth. That's what Jesus meant when he said, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples. My disciples. If you love one another. Our mutual love testifies to the truth of the gospel. Because we are forgiven, we forgive. Because we are loved, we love. I would invite you to focus with me for a couple of moments on one expression of that love. That is how we conduct ourselves in our speaking about each other in the household of God, the church of the living God, as we testify to the truth of which we together are a pillar and buttress. The pillar and buttress stand strong and firm when the truth is spoken and lived in love. Now, spiritual leaders, like pastors and deaconesses, are subject to all sorts of gossip, sarcasm, ridicule, and attacks on character. We are very, very vulnerable. Once upon a time, a pastor about my age, maybe younger, went to a member family's home for dinner one evening. While the parents were in the kitchen, their little daughter and the pastor were talking in the living room. "So, what are we having for dinner?" the pastor asked the little girl. And she replied, "Well, I think we're having old goat. Because I heard my daddy say to my mommy that we're having the old goat for dinner tonight." Now, people in spiritual leadership ought to understand above all others the destructive power of the tongue or the computer or the smartphone keyboard. The internet and the blogosphere have opened a vast new universe of possibilities for speaking ill of one another. We need to hear the words of the inspired Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Since I know you're paying close attention, I know you heard that last phrase, as God in Christ forgave you. Our obedience is not a cause of salvation. It is a result of the salvation that has been won for us by the obedience of Christ. This is not legalism. This is not works righteousness. This is the obedience that comes from faith. As Paul said to the Philippians, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. What are you going to deny yourself this Lenten season? What will you give up for Lent? How about giving up sarcasm, ridicule, and criticism of the other person's character and motives? Let's commit ourselves to defending one another, speaking well of each other, and explaining the other person's actions in the kindest possible way. When we disagree, let's debate the point at issue. Let's not attack the integrity or character of the other person. It's not difficult to find fault. That's the way of the world. We all have plenty of faults to find. We all have more than enough repenting to do. But fault finding is not our way. As the household of God, who live by the Spirit of God, we are not interested in fault finding. We don't get fired up by attacking or ridiculing. We are into encouraging. That's what lights our jets, when we encourage one another. When a conversation in person or online takes a turn toward sarcasm, ridicule, character assassination, we put a stop to it. Simply say, that's not how we live in the family of God. And if people want to talk about you for saying that, if they choose to make you the subject of sarcasm and ridicule because you no longer join them in their ungodly behavior, what should you do? Rejoice. You know they were talking about you anyway. That's for sure. Now you have given them something good to talk about. Something God-pleasing. You're getting talked about for doing the right thing. Rejoice. And by the way, we don't have to wait until tomorrow. This discipline can start today. It can start a few moments from now over coffee in the commons. It can continue during finals week over quarter break as you are face to face with family and friends, as you connect and correspond by letter and phone and email and text and post. It can go on when we return for the spring quarter. And by the time Easter Sunday arrives, you will have formed a godly habit that you would not give up for anything. God grant it by the power of His Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen.